It's almost 5 years to the day since we lost Gentleman Jim, the England captain, Blackpool legend and voice of football, Jimmy Armfield. When I say we here, I mean we as everybody in football, really. We as football fans. And we here at the BBC, where he was just part of the, you know, such a big part of the football coverage for so long, and did it in such a beautiful way. He won 43 caps for England as part of the World Cup winning squad of 66 before going into management and then into journalism and broadcasting. Ian Ridley has written I wouldn't describe it as a eulogy exactly or a hagiography, but it does credit to the great man. And he was a friend of yours, was Jimmy Armfield, Ian. How did the friendship start?
He was a friend of a lot of people. Jimmy, his phone was always ringing, you know, was always having visitors. Well, I'd known Jimmy, of course, down the years as a broadcaster when I was a football journalist. And, you know, obviously I'd meet him at games and in press rooms and everything. But I think the friendship really was cemented when Jimmy got cancer in 2007, literally the same time as my late wife. And I rang him up and I said, look, I'm really sorry to hear this, Jimmy. And we sort of stayed in touch. I left him alone. My wife went through chemo at the same time as Jimmy. And then after his chemo and he was ready to sort of face the world again, he phoned me up and said, look, if you want to come up sometime, it would be nice to see you. And I'll do an interview with you. I'll do the first interview with you. And I did a big interview with him for the Mail on Sunday. And at the time, Vicky came into the house. I'd left Vicky in the car outside Jimmy's house. And he said, who's that in the car? And I said, well, it's Vicky. He said, don't leave her out there, bring her in. So she came in. And anyway, at the end of the interview, she was drinking tea with Jimmy's wife, Anne, in the kitchen. Vicky said to him, can we see your World Cup winner's medal, Jim? And he said, well, we never got one. And I was absolutely shocked to hear this. And actually disgusted as well. Only the 11 that played in the final got them. So I decided to start a campaign with the Mail on Sunday to get the backup squad of 66 medals, which we did in 2009, and they were awarded to Jimmy and co and Jimmy Greaves, my boyhood hero, at Downing Street. And it was just a marvellous occasion. And Jimmy and I, after that, we were firmly bonded, really.
I mean, since you mentioned 66, when you read in your book, I realised there was kind of a backup squad.
Yes.
And Jimmy was effectively captain of it.
Yeah.
And as you point out, you know, it was a slightly different issue with Greavesy not playing. I mean, Greavesy has described himself as the loneliest man in the world, you know, but, you know, Armfield was all smiles. I mean, if that isn't the definition of the team player, I don't know what is.
Well, kind of at the beginning of the book, I sort of address this, really, because they're very different characters, Jimmy Greaves and Jimmy Armfield. And I was fascinated by that. And I spoke to them a lot on that day when they were awarded the medals about this. Jimmy was England captain in 62 at the World Cup. He got a bad injury between the two World Cups and was out for 18 months and so never got his England place back from George Cohen, who obviously recently departed us as well. But he was always valued by Alf Ramsey and he always wanted him in the squad. And Ramsey took him aside just before the World Cup and said, look, Jimmy, you're probably not going to play unless there's a bad injury, but I want you to look after the other members of the squad and keep their morale up. And Jimmy started calling them my lot. They were my lot.
Yeah.
So you couldn't have had a better man for that, because it took his ego. He didn't have an ego like that, Jimmy. He just wanted the team to win. And in fact, you know, Gareth Southgate did an interview about this. He cited Jimmy Armfield to the rest of the team and the squad, saying, this is how we all need to be, one for all for one.
You focused on an area which was a real gap in my knowledge about Leeds United. But you say Jimmy had no ego before him. He had two monumental egos. Revy, who had a massive ego, but a trophy cabinet to match, if you see what I mean. Clough was then there for 44 days and it was a disaster. Now, pouring oil on the troubled water was... was Jimmy Armfield, who came in as manager. And this, I mean, the book's called Pantomime Hero. And I was staggered at this story of the pantomime. It's absolutely bizarre.
Well, it is one of the great, almost untold, not quite untold, but that's why I was attracted to it. During lockdown, I read a lot, but during lockdown, there were times when I couldn't face a long book, so I wanted a short book. And I'd read some novels. And short, it occurred to me, why are there not more short books about football? And I thought about it and I thought, do you know what? I'm going to start a series of short books called Football Shorts. No, I've got some great writers lined up, but nobody wanted to kick it off. And I thought, well, I've got to lead by example here. Who do I want to write about? And I thought about this story of Jimmy and, you know, and it was coming up to 5 years, which it will be on Sunday. And I thought, do you know what? I'd like to write about my friend Jimmy Armfield. And I'm going to use this story at the hub to tell us the wider story of Jimmy.
Just give us a taste of that pantomime.
So 44 days of Clough, Leeds wanted someone, as you say. He comes to Leeds from Bolton Wanderers as the manager. He inherits a squad that is riven by dissent, still hates Clough, still bitter.
Massive players.
Angry.
Norman Hunter, Billy
Hunter,
Bremner,
all huge, huge players all the way through the squad, Lorimer, etc. And Jim says to an old BBC producer called Barney Colhern, I'll tell you what I want to do. I'm going to have a pantomime for the players. And Barney Colhern, who did the good old days, that kind of thing, says, why don't we put it on at City Variety Leeds? Jim went away, went back to his home in Blackpool. He wrote a script. Two weeks later, he comes up with it. Barney Colhern says, fantastic. They put it on. Immediately, all the tickets go. They do a second night. So Jimmy casts Billy Bremner as Buttons. They do Cinderella. Duncan McKenzie as Billy Bremner as Buttons. Duncan McKenzie as Cinderella, who incidentally smokes his way through a lot of this pantomime.
Billy Bremner in the tutu and stuff. It's absolutely bizarre.
I know.
I thought it was some fantasy you'd gone on.
I spoke to Paul Reaney for the book, who was Prince Charming.
Yeah.
Norman Hunter would be Prince Charming.
It's all too much. It's bizarre. Go on. What did Reaney say?
Well, he just said that they were all absolutely staggered when Jimmy came up with this. But looking back, how clever he was, because it bonded them. Yeah. It brought Duncan McKenzie, who was a Clough signing, into the middle. Jimmy stood on the side of the stage with the script, reading, you know, where they fluffed their lines as a prompt. And that gave him the control of the squad. Yeah. This was Jimmy. He was very affable, but also very shrewd.
Mm-hmm.
And they put it on for two nights. They sold the place out and the squad was healed to a large extent, to the point where they reached the European Cup final that year.
We've got another friend of Jimmy Armfield's on, the wonderful John Murray, esteemed colleague. John, I mean...
Hi, Adrian.
Hi.
How are you?
Did you know about this pantomime? I suppose you did, having spent so much time with Jimmy.
I did, but not in such depth. And I can back up what Ian says, because he sent me the book earlier this week and I read it yesterday afternoon. So you can absolutely just dash through it. And it's a lovely read. It's a lovely read. And I think anyone who listened to Jimmy, knew Jimmy, would love to read it, because it's... you know, it's a real roller coaster, isn't it, with those stories, and also in quite detail about the way that things ended, really, 5 years ago. I can't believe it's 5 years ago on Sunday. Mm. And, you know, from my point of view, you know, I remember him as a listener growing up, and he was working with Peter Jones and Brian Butler, and, you know, he worked with Mike Ingham and Alan Green for such a long time, and all of our other commentators over the years during that time. So it's actually quite an honour with the anniversary coming up on Sunday to be able to have a bit of time just to talk about the great man.
Mm. I mean, I slightly, sparing your blushes, John, I slightly put you in the same category. It's just his voice. He had one of those voices which made you feel everything was, that the world was a good place full of good people. I felt the same about, Bob Wilson had the same effect on me, his tone. I mean, the first time you met, were you like me, the first time you talked to him, thinking, hang on, that's him. That's his voice, and he seems to know me, and we're having a conversation. Yeah. You know, it didn't seem right almost.
The strange thing about, you know, you and I, Adrian, are similar ages, whereas Ian, you're a little bit older. And you see, I wasn't born until after the World Cup in 1966. Mm-hmm. And in actual fact, you know, by the time I started taking an interest in football, Jimmy's playing days had ended, and his managerial days had pretty much come to an end. He was in his latter days as the manager of Leeds United. So, it was, he's someone who, I mean, he had a life in football, didn't he? And you were very aware of that. But working with him, the great thing about working with him and spending time with him, you know, we went to many tournaments together and, you know, as they say now, hang out together. I don't think Jimmy would ever have said that. But, you know, just to be able to do that was... You know, he was a real people person. He loved people. He loved talking to people. And wherever he went, he was exactly the same with everyone he met, wasn't he?
Let's have a quick listen to him. It's 30 seconds of that lovely voice.
Some people are on the pitch. They think it's all over. It is now. The reserves are on this, George Easton, this, Jimmy Armfield.
The guy who takes my position, I hope he will find it a little bit smoother and everything will go well for him.
And Brendan has scored! And that was the start that Leeds United wanted!
Roberto Baggio, the bar!
Well, that was incredible.
This is a match that's had everything. You know, it's pure theatre, really.
I mean, there's a tiny flavour of them at some great sort of footballing moments. But, I mean, football's such an unpleasant place in some ways, isn't it? Isn't it, Ian? And as John said, you know, somebody like him shouldn't really stand out in a way, but he does.
Well, I found myself at your introduction today and that I found myself getting quite emotional, actually. I mean, I miss Jimmy a lot because... in the book I talk about, it's a quote that's always stayed with me from Field of Dreams, you know, this field reminds us of all that was good and could be again. Jimmy reminds me of all that was good and could be again. Not, he was such a rounded man. We've got a book coming out in the autumn. We'll try and get him on for you. Andy Hamilton, the comedian's written about his love of Chelsea.
Right.
And it's going to be a lovely book. And I sent him this and he came back to me and said, I've enjoyed this. What an ordinary, extraordinary man he was.
Yeah,
and that
that
was Jimmy. He played the organ in church. He had this beautiful, blessed with this beautiful voice and blessed with the temperament. And he never got bitter.
Yeah.
Football is a game of bitterness. You get sacked as a manager. Jimmy had little moments of being annoyed and that was it, really.
And then it went. So Pantomime Hero, Memories of the Man Who Lifted Leeds United After Brian Clough by Ian Ridley is available now. Where are you off to...